The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, one of the principles of Buddhism is the distinction between what's skillful and unskillful. And the word in Pali is kusala and akusala. I kind of prefer in my mind to think of this as the distinction between what is helpful and not helpful. And or what's useful and not useful. Sometimes these words are translated as wholesome and unwholesome, which gives it a little bit of an ethical feeling to it. But the idea of helpful and unhelpful is just pretty basic. You want to do what's helpful and you want to do what's not helpful. So in terms of doing this practice, the idea is to do that which is helpful for the purposes of feeling more at peace, purposes of being a little bit, being less caught up in our minds and our needs, or less caught up in our past, less caught up in our future. What is helpful for us? And it turns out that another word that I like for all this, instead of wholesome and unwholesome, is nourishing and not nourishing. What is nourishing for us and what is not nourishing for us? And to have some sense of what kind of supports us, what kind of helps kind of the goodness in us to grow. So the skillful and unskillful are those things that we find supportive that we do. And so there's many things which are considered skillful. The Buddhist tradition puts a lot of emphasis on generosity, that being generous is a very skillful thing to do if it can be done in a way that nourishes us. If we do it as a duty, and we're supposed to do it, and we're only focusing on the duty and the giving something to someone, then there's no nourishment in it. But if there's a way of doing it where we kind of do it from the goodness in our heart, as a kind of inspired place, then it's meant to be nourishing for us, that we're better off from being generous. If you're being generous and you're not better off from having done it, then it's not skillful. And then it's not helpful for you and your practice as you unfold. And probably it's not as helpful for someone else either if you're generous and you don't feel lighter, happier, more at ease. If you feel more burdened by it and like a should and tight, then it's not skillful. Another thing that's considered to be skillful or nourishing or helpful is to be ethical. And here too, the idea is not to be ethical, but because you're supposed to, like there's a big should and burden, and being ethical is because there's this big, obligation to avoid being a bad person. And you're supposed to be a good thing, and so you live ethically, but, you're not better because of it. You're not nourished by that. It's just like you're protecting yourself from lightning or something, or judgment of other people. But to be ethical in a way that nourishes you, that you feel kind of buoyed or supported or fed by that. It's a good, wow, it feels good, it's nice. How do you do that? Because if you live unethically, chances are, it's the opposite of being nourished. It's draining. It's depleting. It does other things. But the goal is, what is nourishing? What is helpful for you in your heart? What helps your heart? So all this also applies to things like the Buddhist practice, kind of like meditation practice or practicing compassion or loving kindness. How do we engage in the practice in such a way that we're nourished by it, so that it's helpful for us, so it's useful for us? So it's skillful, and that takes really kind of tuning in, sensing your own heart or your own inner life, and knowing what it's like to be nourished, what it's like to be supported and helped. Because it's all too easy to do Buddhist practice out of a sense of duty. I'm supposed to meditate every morning. I'm not a good Buddhist unless I meditate every morning. and I don't really want to, but I got to do this thing, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to force myself to do it, and then afterwards I'm going to take a cold shower and run in the snow, you know, because it's supposed to be good for me, you know, or something, you know, this obligation. And you know, that's not nourishing. You don't, it doesn't, like, it's not supportive. You don't feel like the goodness in you, the goodness of the activity doesn't feed your heart, doesn't feed who you are. So the quest in Buddhist practice is to try to find ways to practice that are skillful, find ways of practice that are nourishing or helpful, and be attentive to the ways we practice which are unskillful. And it's easily enough to be unskillful in the practice. So the sense of duty, and I should, and then to, you know, if you know, some people practice and they're constantly judging themselves. Oh, my mind went off, and I'm a bad meditator. Without looking at that ethically, like saying you're bad because you said you're a bad meditator, it is. We don't need this whole evaluating from skill, from the point of view of skillfulness and unskillfulness, helpfulness and unhelpfulness, is a way to remove the evaluation from the strict kind of ethical kind of you're good or you're bad. So if you are sitting there and your mind wanders off, and you say, oh, I'm a bad meditator. And if you feel the impact of that kind of thought on yourself, you see that's unskillful. It doesn't nourish you. It's not helpful. Ideally, we're trying to find a way to do it in a nourishing way. So for example, the mind wanders off, and you would say to yourself, oh, look at that. The mind wanders off. I bet this happens to other people's too. And now it's time to start over again. And starting over again is a great skill. In fact, I've heard that practice is, mostly what practice is starting over again. And starting over again in a loving way, in a caring way, just starting over again in a determined way, but not pouncing back on the breath, not kind of jerking the mind back and commanding it, okay, you know, let's do it right now. That's not nourishing. It's not supportive. It doesn't feed something good in us. So part of the art of practice is to do it in such a way, to do the way you do it, how can I do it so it's nourishing, so it's helpful? The point is not just to do it as a duty. The point is not do it for doing's sake, but to do it in ways that's nourishing. In fact, it's possible that the real growth in the practice is not from the practice you do, but how you do it. And so don't be too focused on the particular practice and succeeding in the practice. Focus more on how you do the practice so that you want to do it, so it's nice to do it, so you enjoy doing it. I can't wait to sit down and meditate or do the practice. I can't wait to do these things because I know that I'm really bad. I do it really badly from some point of view. I hardly, you know, my mind wanders off all the time and I can't sit still. But it's so good to sit there and have this loving, caring way of kind of engaging and trying to be present. And I want to do this. It feels so good. It's like being your own best friend. So part of the focus on practice is to discover the how we do it as much as the what we do. And the guideline that the Buddha gave is to do it from the point of view of what's skillful. And I prefer languages of what's helpful, what's nourishing, what's supportive, and what's helpful, nourishing, and supportive for the purposes of developing our goodness, of developing our capacity for freedom, developing our capacity for kindness, developing our capacity for growth and a sense of clarity, calm, and peace in this whole thing. So there's a criteria for what is helpful. But those are the criteria. Peaceful, kind, free, growth of goodness. You know, there's a variety, all kinds of things that can be the criteria. So you can know, this is helpful in that direction. This is not helpful. So focusing on the how you do at least as much as what you do. And if you focus on how you do things, then the what you do will probably be more productive, more useful. You probably get more out of it. If you only focus on what you do without how you do it, it's all too easy to go down in the wrong direction and it end up being unskillful, unnourishing, whatever you're doing, even if you think it's a good thing. Really good things done the wrong way are not particularly helpful. And then in terms of the theme I mentioned earlier about continuity in practice, the continuity of nourishment feeds us over time. So we want to have continuity in the practice so that we kind of build up a continuity of being fed and being nourished and supported. So the mind becomes quieter and stiller. So the mind becomes more peaceful. So the mind doesn't have to think about things so much. It's not anxious about things and concerned about things. And then as the mind gets more peaceful and quiet, as the heart gets more settled, then at some point we realize that it's not helpful anymore to think about what's helpful. It's actually not helpful at some point to continue focusing on nourishing oneself. At some point, that just kind of just becomes, you know, you're now using rough sandpaper when the wood has gotten smooth. But if what wood is really rough, then we have to think about what's nourishing. But as we settle down, get quiet and more present, then that concern about what's skillful and unskillful has best just fall away. Make sense? Skillful and unskillful, very important word in our tradition, concept. So thank you. And now we